1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Man, the weather in Los Angeles, if you haven't heard, not that it matters to you, but I just thought I'd give you the give it a lowdown. It's been pretty sad here in the L.A. area the last 24 hours. It's been a lot of rain and a lot of flooding, and I almost got nailed with a chair. I walked out of my backyard today, this morning, like at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and sailing right by me was one of those plastic chairs, because that's what I've got. I got those plastic jobs that, and this thing was airborne. So it's been pretty nasty. Anyway, the Academy Award nominations are out, and here they are for Best Picture: Chocolat, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Aaron Brockovich, Gladiator, and Traffic. And I was looking at these, and the first thing that came to mind was, well, now here we go again. Here we go. It's going to happen. See, we went through this in 1998. And in that year, a movie came out called Saving Private Ryan. You probably remember it. Most of you saw it. Good movie. I don't care if the guy had $100 million to play with. And, oh, gee, let's punish Steven Spielberg because the guy didn't waste $150 million making a movie. He actually put it all on the screen and it looked fantastic. And the story was great. And everybody went to see it, thoroughly entertained, thoroughly educated by the experience of World War II, blah, blah, blah. Oh, but we don't want to give him the Academy Award because anybody can make a good movie with $150 or whatever this guy spent to make that movie. How much money did it cost him to make that Saving Private Ryan? Huh? You think I know? Mike's looking. I don't know. How the hell would I know, you stupid? You're the guy who's making all the dough. Yeah, I guess you guys like you keep track of that, don't you? Yeah, let me write down here an IMDb. One of the things we got here in our room now in the studio is we have internet access, so I can go online and act like a complete insufferable internet geek and, and look up information like you guys couldn't do the very same thing with your computer. Saving Private Ryan. It ain't going to tell how much it made. All it says here is that it was a movie, and it's got all the guys that started. Anyway, the thing, the guy put, he made a good movie. So what do? They give it to that Shakespeare in Love. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you don't have to believe this. Shakespeare in Love, while it was a fine effort, and it had some marvelous performances, this was not the best movie of the year. Everybody knew it wasn't the best movie of the year. Something happened. Somebody wanted to punish Spielberg. Maybe it's because they couldn't stand to look at the guy any longer. Maybe he's just too good, Backlash, all that stuff. Whatever. So they gave it to a movie that nobody even remembers seeing. Nobody even remembers seeing Saving... what was it called? I don't even know the name of it. Saving Shakespeare, wasn't it? Private Ryan in Love? I don't know what the hell the thing was. Nobody even remembers seeing that movie. I remember I was at an Academy Awards party, and it was a big club, and there were a bunch of people there. And some of the people came dressed as their favorite characters, and there was this one guy dressed like a Shakespearean minstrel with the tights and the thing around the neck. And he was sitting, and when they announced the award, he leapt up and down in his tights, leaping about like just the cat in tights leaping about is enough to want to get a shovel, Just imagine a guy in tights hopping around the room, and what do you think? You think, has anybody got a spade? No, I don't mean the guy you came to the party with. I mean the shovel. Can I just go ahead and, So this guy leapt about, and he was happy. I'm just, get out. Let's leave this party. I told Maria, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. See, it doesn't matter to me. These guys are making the kind of change they're making. They're making some really good movies. It's just that, you get invested emotionally in certain movies. Like, what's a movie that you really got invested emotionally in, Craig, other than the DVD to Exorcist, where it has all that great stuff on the side? Craig doesn't get emotionally invested in any movie. He gets emotionally invested in the outtakes of movies, the DVD outtakes. Dude, you got to get the DVD of Gladiator, man. Well, I got the film. No. You got to look at the outtakes. Anyway, so here's what this is going to happen this year. They got this Gladiator. You seen this thing? Good movie. I mean, whatever. Hey, this guy, he put a bunch of money into this thing. He had all these special effects. Why don't you punish him the way they punished Spielberg 2 years ago? Ridley Scott, not a bad director, already stunk the joint out with that Hannibal, from what I'm hearing. I think that, from what I'm hearing on that Hannibal, he stunk it out with that. So he puts a bunch of change into this movie, Gladiator, a bunch of special effects, And Russell Crowe, with that phenomenal acting style of his, which goes from pissed to a little bit more pissed, to pissed in an American accent, to pissed and constipated, to not so pissed but kind of dumb, to pissed and dumb in an American accent, to pissed and stupid in an Australian accent, and then finally back to pissed again. And that is the marvelous acting range of Russell Crowe. Oh, yeah, and pissed off that he's got to hang around Meg Ryan. I forgot about that one. That's the marvelous acting range of our main man, Russell Crowe, who, yeah, I dug the cat in L.A. Confidential. He's solid, you know? So I got to see the same thing in every other movie that he ever did? There's a guy that ought to get into some tights and hop around a room. Anyway, so this guy's in the movie, and they make this thing, and everybody says it's a shoe-in. Bull crap. You know what's going to win? That freaking Chocolat. That Chocolat is this year's Shakespeare in Love. Chocolat. I got your Chocolat. They were going to call it Hershey's Squirt, but, you know. They gave it a French name, man. They gave it that French thing. Freaking Chocolat. My wife takes me to see that flick. Hey, you know what? The best guy in that movie was Alfred Molina. You don't know who the hell he is, but if you saw Boogie Nights, the drug dealer who dug Sister Christian by Night Ranger, that's Alfred Molina, and he's in this Chocolat. He's great. But do you think they're going to give this guy an Academy Award? Oh, no, of course not. They got to give it to Judi Dench. Why? Who? I don't know. She's just British and old, and that's it. She's old and English, so give her another one. And she's got that Dame Judi Dench. The hell is that? She spends a whole movie sitting on her ass eating chocolate in this movie. And getting fatter. By the third reel of this movie, she can't even freaking move. Chocolate. I don't even know. So my wife took me to see that, and it made $27 million, but that's how much they paid Johnny Depp to be in it, so they made a nickel yet. They had Johnny Depp and a whole bunch of people you don't know. And Johnny Depp... Whatever, you know, good guy. I loved him in Ed Wood. But that Chocolat, I don't know what that's about. Anyway, so then the other movie is Aaron Brockovich and Traffic, which is a really good flick, which naturally means it doesn't have a chance, doesn't have a snowball's chance in living hell to win any. But, you know, they'll give the Benicio Del Toro probably get the supporting actor deal because he won it for the Golden Globe, but who the hell knows. And then they have Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which sounds... like, you know, Japanese versions of bowel movements or something. I don't know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and that was made by Ang Lee, and Maria saw it, and I said, what'd you think? And she said, I didn't see anything because I was reading all the crap at the bottom of the screen. I never saw the movie. And I said, the same thing happens to me. She says, it happens to you? I said, yeah. Every time I go to see a movie, it's subtitled. I don't see the movie. Like that Life is Beautiful. Thank God I didn't see that because I spent the whole time reading all the bull crap at the bottom of the screen. Okay, you have to go into the concentration. I look up and it's gone. Now it's a new thing, the guy's saying. I got to read the thing. I look up, it's another thing. So here's the nominations now for the Best Picture, Chocolat, Hidden Dragon, Crouching Something, Aaron Brockovich, Crouching Aaron Brockovich. And then there's Gladiator, and then there's Glad He Didn't, and then there's Traffic. Now, Best Actor, Javier Bardem. Sure, I saw him, didn't you? Before Night Falls. Everybody's going, oh, I got to go see that. No, you don't want to go see it, man. It's like an art, it's an art movie. It ain't Crouching Tiger. Then they got a guy named, here he is, Russell Crowe for Gladiator, Tom Hanks, Castaway, Ed Harris for Pollock. I'm kidding, it's Jackson Pollock. It's a story about Jackson Pollock, the artist, which means nobody's going to go see that either. And then Jeffrey Rush in Quills, which is another flick that, and that guy needs another Academy Award, like he needs another freaking hole in the head. Then they go on to Best Actress, Joan Allen in The Contender. Where's our main man, Gary Oldman? Oh, you mean nobody likes him anymore? Oh, okay. What happened to Gary, man? We loved him in Contender. And the Hannibal, well, we loved him in Contender. So then we had Joan Allen, Juliette Binoche in El Chocolat. They were going to call it El Camino de Chocolate, but I don't know. They shortened it up, man, for some reason. Juliette Binoche in the El Camino de Chocolate, Ellen Burstyn in Requiem for a Dream, Laura Linney in You Can Count on Me, and yay, Julia Roberts, Aaron Brockovich. Supporting actor Jeff Bridges in The Contender, which, I hate to break the news, he sucked in that movie. I don't give a crap. Look, anybody can play cute. This cat with the funny face and the cute and the president ordering all this bullcrap from the kitchen, he sucked. And I love Jeff Bridges. Willem Dafoe in Shadow of the Vampire, Benicio Del Toro, the only guy that ought to win it, Albert Finney doing his American accent, and Aaron Brockovich. Here's another guy that ought to get it, that Joaquin Phoenix, the only guy worth looking at in that freaking movie. He was great. As a matter of fact, he's going to turn out to be the one Phoenix. Well, he's going to turn out to be the one Phoenix that lives past 30, but he's also... And then you have supporting actress Judi Dench for El Camino de Chocolate. I remember one time I had a... Well, never mind. Judi Dench for The Chocolate Highway. Marcia Gay Harden. Is that her name? Oh, Harden for Pollock. Kate Hudson for Almost Famous. Frances McDormand for Almost Famous. Julie Walters for Billy Elliot. Is she the one that was in that Educating Rita? I don't know. I'm asking the two wrong guys. I'm asking the two skinheads. They don't know. All right, we'll be back with more of this bullcrap, with more of this great stuff in just a moment. The Academy Awards were announced today. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Academy Award nominations out today. And I was just talking to Taylor, and he ain't seen a one of them. In fact, Taylor hadn't seen a movie that was made after 1988 all year. Well, no. Well, when was The Professional made? Taylor, these are the movies that Taylor's seen this year. He's seen The Professional 9 times, and then he's seen the outtakes to whatever the hell movie, you know, whatever DVD they sent him in the DVD club this week. So let me tell you who the guys are that are going to win. Here's who ought to win. Here's who's going to win. Best Picture, who ought to win, is Traffic. Who's going to win is either El Chocolate de Camino Hill, you know, whatever, or Gladiator. Best Actor, who ought to win, is probably Ed Harris. Who's going to win is freaking Jeffrey Rush. What do you think they give it to him again? You say Russell Crowe? Not a chance. Tom Hanks are in a way in hell, although they'd love to give it to him, but he's won 14 of them already. Best Actress, who ought to win, is probably like Ellen Burstyn or something like that. Who's going to win? Joan Allen. Which, she's great, but I don't think she was that great in that movie. Supporting Actor, who ought to win is Benicio Del Toro. Who will win is Benicio Del Toro. Supporting Actress, who should win... I think Marcia Gay Harden for Pollock or Julie Waters, something like that. Who will win? Either Kate Hudson for Almost Famous or Judi Ding Dang Dench for El Camino de Chocolate. And then director, who ought to win is probably Steven Soderbergh for Traffic, and who will win, you got it, Ridley Scott, Gladiator, which, by the way, the movie that Crouching Tiger, I can't read this small. I can't read the small print here. And then the rest of it's a bunch of crap that we all go to the bathroom for, right? I mean, like makeup, editing, and stuff. Don't you sit there and try to get interested in that? And you just, I don't, you know, why? I don't want to know. The one that's really cool is the Irving Thalberg Memorial Award, and then the Lifetime Achievement one is pretty cool because they always have a very interesting person who presents it. This year, they're giving the Irving G. Thalberg Award to Dino De Laurentiis. What did he do? Didn't he do Castaway? Oh, there you go. So that's it, guys. That's the Academy Awards as we see them. And like I said, you see, my wife thinks she discovered the independent movie, so she took me to see Chocolate, and we went and saw some other crap. And I took her to see Gods and Monsters, and she still to this day thinks it was her idea. And I said, this is going to be a really big movie. This Ian McKellen, or whatever the hell his name is, and that other guy, the big dumbass who can't do a good movie to save his life, Brendan Fraser. How come he keeps doing all that garbage when he's a good actor? And what's this one with the monkey? Has this guy lost his mind for good? Look at this. Taylor thinks it's fantastic. Yeah, because you've seen all the outtakes with the monkey. That should be good. This cat has done Blast from the Past, freaking Dudley Do-Right, that bedazzled piece of crap with What's-Her-Face, and she's not bad to look at, but whatever, man. Now he's in a movie with an ape, a cartoon monkey. What's so good about that? The dude that did Nightmare Before Christmas, what, Tim Burton? When's the last time he did a good movie, if you want the honest truth? What was that, the thing with, what's his name? Ichabod Crane, what the hell was it? Legend of Sleepy Hollow, was that a good movie? It sucked. You have it on DVD, which means you haven't watched it, which means he's seen all the outtakes. Thank you very much. So I don't know what we're going to see this year, man. What's that? Oh, that Hannibal. See, I was looking forward to that. We spent the whole show yesterday ripping that a new ass, so what's the point, okay? Just we'd like to see our good personal friend Gary Oldman start doing good movies again. And anyway, I'm joking. Which, by the way, the great Dwight Yoakam was screening his film last night. I couldn't make it because I got invited, seriously, and I was very honored to be invited to see the screening of Dwight's film. And speaking of El Camino de Chocolate, I had come back from Mexico with a bad case, and I got on the road, and I said, there ain't no way I'm going to make it down Laurel Canyon. And I made it home, and I said, hi, honey, and I spent the next half hour on the toilet. It's been tough at our house for the last, since we got back. Maria's had bad stomach cramping. In the middle of the night, you hear her get up, and you hear the little feet running into the bathroom. Then the door closes, and a very delicate, well, I don't want to make the sound, but you know what I mean. But it's very feminine, and it comes reverberating and echoing out of there like a train coming down a tunnel. And it's been quite the last few days. So I said, look, don't eat anything, okay? If you've got this kind of problem, this Mexican, you know what I'm saying, the Green Apple Two-Step, Montezuma's Revenge, which one of the kids said to me yesterday,
you know what that means, don't you?
No, what?
Montezuma was a guy we killed, so he makes us crap.
Okay. I said, don't eat anything. You got to keep your stomach rested. So she's sitting there eating beef bourguignon, 15 cheeseburgers from In-N-Out. I said, it's just going to go right out. What are you doing? Look at honey, when you have that problem, don't put anything on your stomach. You have to starve that bacteria that's in there. Okay, well, what about a leg of lamb? Okay, go ahead. And I got done reading that Joe DiMaggio book. Can I just say something which is apropos of nothing, and probably you guys don't care, and I don't care if you don't care. I got done reading a book called A Hero's Life, The Story of Joe DiMaggio. What a turd that guy was. I mean, with all due respect, you got to read this book, Mike. Joe DiMaggio, when I was growing up, I was taught from a very early age that this guy was the epitome of class on every level. You read this book, you talk about tight and surly and ignorant. Unbelievable. Good ball player. Won't take anything away from him. The guy could really play baseball, but every other part of this guy's life, he was a tight-fisted, surly, unfriendly creep. But a hell of a ball player. And Marilyn Monroe, apparently, according to this book, he beat her up. He busted her nose one time. He had a son that he never had anything to do with. See, this is the thing about these guys. I read about people that I admired, and then I find out what they were in their personal life. And it just goes to show you, admire a man's work, but if you want to admire the man, find out about him. Find out a little bit about the person. If you want to dig a guy's movies, love his radio show, love his TV show, whatever the hell it is that he does, that's fine. If you want to dig him, do a little digging. And you'll find out maybe 9 times out of 10, he's a slob and a half. Just like I told you when I read all those Jack Kerouac letters, who I was a big fan of that cat. I've read every book that Jack Kerouac ever wrote. Then I got a load of this guy's letters and what his life was about, and he was a pile. He was no kind of a man at all. Same thing with this DiMaggio. No wonder I hate the Yankees. Jesus, you know, I mean, well, other than the fact that I grew up in L.A., and forgive me, those of you who are Yankee fans, I can't stand, I never did like them. Part of the reason is because they're so good, and they're fantastic, but quit trying to pawn your heroes off on me like these guys are the end-all, be-all, like these cats crap gold, okay? Mickey Mantle juiced it, Joe DiMaggio beat up Marilyn Monroe, not that she didn't deserve it, and another thing, I'm joking. Okay, I got to take a break here, and well that I should. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, we were just talking about the Godfather and the three brothers in the Corleone family. Fredo, the oldest, the complete mess. Santino, a dumb, a lot of guts, but a dumbass that got himself shot. Who's the guy that took over the family? Who's the guy that hit the home run? Michael, the third born. Now, Schaefer, you're the third born in your family. I'm the third born in my family. How about you, Craig? You're number one. You're the only kid, right? Aren't you an only child? You got a brother and sister? You're the oldest? So you had to take all the crap for being the oldest. Do you? Yeah, see? You're scarred by that, aren't you? The eldest and the youngest. I don't know why it is. The eldest are the most dysfunctional in a family. Now, Craig, you're good, though. But your parents are rare, man. Your parents really had it together. Although you do tend to abuse drugs. But other than that, I think you're really good. And generally, the oldest kid in the family is just whacked out, is crazy, is messed up, is angry, you know, because the parents make all the mistakes with that kid, and then when number two comes along, well, now we know a little bit more. And by the third kid, they got it totally solid, because they're two, huh? They're on cruise control with the third kid, and the third kid is, oh, look at you, aren't you the sweet? Now, your older brother, he's a piece of crap, and your older sister, well, she's kind of a dumbass, but you're great. And then when the youngest one comes along in families, the youngest one tends to be left behind a little bit, like an afterthought. Like, oh, yeah, and aren't you the baby of the family? Well, the baby of the family is babied. So everybody in a, like, we'll just take the standard four-kid families like what I came out of. How many kids in your family, Mike? Four. Three? And you're Catholic? How the hell did that happen? Minimum four in a Catholic family. Every family that I knew, when I went to school of Holy Angels in Arcadia, thank you very much, little plug there for a fine young elementary school. Well, actually an old one, but I was young when I went there. 8, 9, 10 kids a family. Every man, and they're all starting out with the MC and the Mick this and the O'Doul that. 58 kids to a family. And you'd see these kids in class, the shoes, no holes, you know, holes in the bottom of them. Anyway, make a long story short, they're all whacked out and weird. But the third kid has always got his stuff together. And I remember as the third kid in my family, I was sort of looked upon as, well, you're all right, but the others suck. Okay, thanks, Dad. You're welcome. And the same thing with you, Mike? Your parents hate your other kid, their other kids, but they love you, right? Okay, thanks a lot. Just thought I'd get that plug in there, all you Schaefer kids that are listening in here tonight. All right, now, speaking of families, the XFL this past weekend had strippers in a hot tub in the end zone. Explain that, will you? You go to the L.A. Coliseum to watch a football game with your kid. Look, I'm just as randy as the next guy. I can have myself a good time. Do I got to have it at a football game with my kids there? Got a load of this. You guys that don't know this, the L.A. Extreme, worried that people are going to like what's on the field, they got strippers in a tub. Now, I saw the comment in the paper today, oh, we didn't know they were going to be strippers. We hired a company to do a thing and put this thing up in the end zone, and they hired strippers. Chicks were taking their clothes off at this football game, okay? Now, I don't think that I'm being too far afield when I say that if you don't mind, I'll when it's time for my boys to see a nude woman, that I may be the guy who calls the time and place for that, like, or you know, their dad or something, like, maybe there's a bar someplace, you know, maybe there's, you know, a joint somewhere, or, I don't know, a movie, whatever. But can't we make that decision? How come the LA Extreme is making that decision, okay? That's another reason why you guys owe me free tickets. You guys are so cheap, you can't comp me my season tickets, and now you got nude chicks in bathtub and hot tubs in the end zone. Your product's so freaking dull, you gotta, look at, I don't care, but I understand that the crowd is so bored at these games. I mean, seriously, You got to clean that crowd up at that Coliseum, man. Those Raider fans. See, number one, as I mentioned once before, L.A. Raider fans were the dumbest football fans on record. What's happening with these L.A. Extreme games is going to be the same thing. You guys are bringing out people that don't know anything about football. All they want to do is watch chicks take their clothes off. Nothing wrong with that. It's got to be the football game? How about at your house, man? Why don't you have a party and have that happen there? All right, I won't beat that. Getting back to being the third born and the hot... No, anyway. So, did you get flowers for your girlfriend? No. Okay, here's the story, because I called up the florist today to get flowers for my wife, and I got this... they're doing me a favor, see? Because it's Valentine's Day.
Yes, what do you want?
Well, I'd like to get flowers for my...
You want to do what?
I want to get flowers for my wife. Oh, man. You got to be putting me on, right? No, I'm not putting you on. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Can I get flowers, pal? I'm back ordered for 6 weeks. There's no way. I mean, if you don't mind spending $10 a flower, okay. See, that really got to me this morning when I'm trying to get my wife a couple of dozen. Well, I don't want to say what, but they're flowers. And you know, if there's Pro Flowers still on the air with us, I don't know, but that seems like a pretty good way to go, just to have them mailed. Because calling these people up to try to get flowers delivered to my house was like having my teeth pulled. And these people are on the other end of the phone telling me how they can't. I say, what time can you get it? Well, I don't know. Well, can you deliver it tomorrow? Well, sure. Well, what time? Well, sir, we don't specify time. Well, let me ask you something. What time do you stop delivering the flowers? 5:00. So, in other words, I know I'll get them at least by 5. Well, we'll get them to you much sooner than that. Well, just give me an answer to this thing. Look, it's Valentine's Day. I'm a married man. I gotta get flowers over there. Well, how about delivering them today? Because today ain't today. Today is not Valentine's Day. Well, a lot of the girls got the flowers on their desk, sir. I think, let's just get them over there tomorrow, will you? So sure enough, I'm walking down the hall around here, and all the women, the secretaries, the producers and the talent, all of them, they got their flowers on their desk today. So anyway, I mean, I really hate that. And give you an example. We ordered a car to pick us up, to take us to the airport before the vacation. I just don't like it when somebody thinks they're doing me a favor, and they can't, you know, they say they're going to have it there, and they don't, man. We ordered a car to pick us up and take us to the airport before we went on vacation to Mexico. And at 4:45, I'm waiting for this freaking car so we can get down to the airport to get the hell out of here. Car ain't there. Car ain't there for 15 minutes. I finally get in my own car and drive myself to the airport, which I don't mind doing that, but I didn't really want to have my car sitting at the airport for 10 days. I asked these guys, and you know what? They call back while I'm in Mexico. I check the messages. Hi, Mr. Henry. This is the car service. Will you be I guess you drove yourself to the airport. Will you be needing us to drive you home? How about I'm sorry we couldn't get there on time? How about something like that? And no, I won't be needing you to drive me home. My car's at the airport. Get it? Anyway, that sucks. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here, and it's time now for products that pretty much tell you your family, friends, or neighbors are too fat and lazy to do anything else but to order these products. These products come to us from a famous catalog that we will obviously not mention, because if we do, well, in any event, probably all kinds of problems. Although, well, okay, I'll mention it. This is the Romans catalog by Dr. Leonard. Healthcare products, but here's, for instance, one. It's $12.99. Comb yourself a perfect haircut. Now you can give yourself and your family a safe, easy care. You can give yourself and your family a safe, easy haircut at home. Like going to the barber is some trip into, what, the Bermuda Triangle? Just adjust the blade for the proper length, and this precision haircutting tool will trim, taper, and style any length of hair like a pro. So you don't even cut your hair. You're combing it and cutting it at the same time. You're so fat and so lazy, you can't even get up and move to the door to get to the barber. Now we have a wonderful product here. I love this. Get a load of this. Waterproof bed pad. This quilted waterproof bed pad offers total comfort and protection against moisture. Oh, so now we can't even get out of bed to go to the bathroom. Against moisture, stains, and soil. It lies conveniently on top of the sheet so you can avoid bedding changes in the middle of the night. Just get up and go to the toilet. Oh, I don't know, man. Go ahead and go right here in bed, Bob. We'll change it later. All right. That's what I was thinking, but I just wanted to make sure. Go ahead. I used to walk in my sleep, and I think I've told this story before, but it's really bizarre. I used to, for some reason, in my 20s, I walked in my sleep. And it stopped in my mid to late 20s. I just stopped walking in my sleep. But I walked in my sleep for a period of time. And by walking in my sleep, I mean I would wake up, but I'd find myself standing outside in my underwear. This happened to me once. I was outside in my underwear, and the door had locked behind me. So I went around to the front door. Unfortunately, it was a hot summer night. I'd left the front door open with the screen door latched. So I literally pulled the screw that the latch was connected to right out of the wall to get into my apartment, which I guess I could have just kicked in the screen, too. I mean, six of one, half a dozen of the other. But one night I woke up, and I'm not kidding you guys. I woke up, and I was taking a leak into the crisper in the refrigerator. Now, many of you who have this problem, you'll relate. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I was standing there, and I was taking a leak into the refrigerator crisper. I had a friend of mine who walked in his sleep one night, and he was peeing into a pile of laundry. He woke up when his wife woke him up. She said, "What are you doing?" And it woke him up, which I suppose is a natural response. It's, what are you doing? Craig, are you serious? Craig's brother peed into the dishwasher. What is that? You saw him doing it? You're not supposed to, you shook him and woke him up? You're not supposed to do that to people that are, you know, sleepwalking. Otherwise, they'll, like, freaking die. Isn't that right? You wake up sleepwalkers? That's what I've heard anyway. Fortunately, this all occurred in my life before I was married, so there was nobody to wake me up. I woke myself up, and I'll never forget waking up, and there I am peeing into the crisper in the refrigerator, and I wake up, and I literally go, what the hell am I doing? I was like, you do a double take on yourself. You go, what am I doing? This made so much sense when I was asleep. It made perfect sense. Go to the refrigerator and pee into it. I was sleeping. I was dreaming. I don't know. In my dream, it was a sensible thing to do. I will now get out of bed. I will walk into the kitchen. I'll open up the refrigerator, and I'll take a leak into it. That's a perfectly normal thing until you wake up, and you're like, holy gee, this is wrong. So wrong. So naturally, I spent the next 2 hours just scrubbing down my refrigerator. Have you ever done that? You wake up in the middle of the night and you screw something up so bad you have to spend the next hour like cleaning up, like you break a bottle of milk or something. Well, this happened. I spent the next 2 hours cleaning out my refrigerator. I don't know. Men's non-binding cotton socks. Okay, these are non-binding cotton... Non-binding cotton socks. Made without elastic, these non-binding, non-irritating socks are ideal for men with poor circulation, diabetes, sensitive skin, or you're just too freaking fat for socks. Crew-length socks are made of 99% cotton. The heel and toe are reinforced with 1% nylon for strength, available in 4 different colors. So that's a beautiful thing. And then finally we have here, get a load of this. This is a long-reach shoehorn, It lets you put your shoe on without bending over. So there we go. Now we've reached the bottom of that. We've reached the bottom rung on the evolutionary ladder. We're too freaking fat to bend over to put a shoe on. We need the old long-range. But you know what's cool about this? The other side of it's a back scratcher, so that's kind of neat. Long-range shoehorn, and then finally, easy-lock raised toilet seat. This tip-proof raised toilet seat securely attaches to any toilet to provide stable support. What, are you too freaking lazy to sit down on the toilet now? Come on! All right, thanks a lot.
You know, if you didn't talk so much and you listened, you'd learn.
I know everything there is to know about radio. I know more about radio than you do. Well, that's for sure. And you know.
First of all, I don't think you're a gentleman. I think you have a vulgar mouth. I could not believe.
What are you talking about?
I could not believe when I put my radio on that I was listening to your vulgar mouth.
What word did I use that was vulgar?
You're not nice. You didn't even listen to the gentleman that was talking to you there, Mr. Henry.
That's different from being vulgar. What vulgar word did I use?
You sound vulgar. You're vulgar. I can tell. Just talk.
What about the whole thing about the shower rape?
Yeah.
You're nasty.
What's wrong with that?
You're not nice. I'm from the
50s. I'm not nice.
You know, I can't believe.
Look, lady,
we can't
afford nice anymore. We just had a
guy
blow up.
Listen to me here for a minute.
You
I was brought up with five brothers, and I never had one brother to talk the way you do.
What are you,
you
talking about?
You do not belong on radio.
Well, if your brothers are all pussies.
And you're no different than Timothy McVeigh.
McVeigh? Who's
you're
he?
No better.
McVeigh with a V.
Well, McVeigh or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
You're
read
awful.
Read a
you
newspaper.
Are a nasty
read
individual.
Read a newspaper.
Look at how, David, what are we proving here?
This lady, she don't read papers. His name's McVeigh.
I do read the papers.
Well, then you know his name's McVeigh.
Listen, I was Woman of the Year of 1996 in Massachusetts, so don't tell me
what?
Anything. But
you were what?
You sound like
Woman of the Year
in
Hey, Phil, look up Woman of the Year in 1996 in Massachusetts. I'm going to get your name.
Who knows?
And I'm writing a letter to whoever the guy is that runs that state now. Is he still a Democrat?
But you are a terrible person on radio. You swear. It's
I never swear. What's the word I used?
I can't believe. I heard you swear.
What word?
The words you used.
What word did I use?
You're,
you can't
you're
prove
not
it.
A gentleman.
You're lying. You're making things up. The
That's
woman
not
of the
true.
Year.
I don't know how Mr.
The woman
Henry,
of the year in 1996
Henry
in Massachusetts
can have you
is
on
lying.
Look at
you're
David.
Not a gentleman. Look at the way you're talking
ma'am,
to me.
Ma'am, if you were the woman of the year in 1996,
you
why are you lying?
You are not a gentleman.
Why are you lying?
You are not a gentleman.
All you people in Massachusetts, this late.
Okay, will you come on?
God, Phil,
nice
I'd like to strap this.
Massachusetts.
You know what I wouldn't mind doing? Putting you in a chair with a dry
nice.
Sponge.
That
okay.
is not nice of you to talk about
what do you think about that Timothy McVeigh?
What would I do with him?
What would you do with him?
I have nothing to do with him. He done nothing to me.
Oh,
he's
done
nothing to me.
So you think he should walk?
No, I don't. I think they should do what they're going to do. And it's up to
I
him.
Play
I'm
it
not
for
in
laughs.
Charge of him.
I want to play it for laughs.
You're not. But play it for laughs. Why? He's
because
a
it's
human
funny.
Being.
A dirtbag like
is
that.
A human being.
Nah, human being. That guy, greasing that guy is the best thing we could do. And if you play it for
you're
laughs.
You're not sympathetic at all. You have no.
Sympathetic
you
to
have
what?
No love in you.
I can't stand Timothy McVeigh.
McVeigh.
I know,
you
but that's what she thinks
no
it is.
You don't have no love in you.
I don't have no love in me. The woman of the year, 1996, no
that's
love.
That's right.
I like those
that's
double
right.
negatives up there.
And don't
what,
try
what,
to threaten,
what are we doing here? We
don't
baiting
try to threaten right. me on the radio.
I'm just saying that you're the woman of the year in 96
don't
in Massachusetts,
don't try to threaten
right?
me by saying you're going to report me or anything like
I'm gonna
that.
I'm reporting
you're
you.
You're the one that I'm should be reported.
I'm reporting you to the Massachusetts Woman of the Year Committee.
You do that.
Yeah, I will.
You won't get
I happen
very
to
far.
Know who the chairman is.
I could not believe.
I know those people.
I could not believe when I opened. When I.
What,
I could not believe this afternoon
Rachel,
when I opened my radio
Rachel,
and listened to
you
your
filthy,
your dirty, rotten
would you turn on your newspaper this morning, too? What are you talking about?
Look, David.
Phil, would you shut up?
David.
Would you shut up?
I'm not afraid of you.
I'm talking to Phil. I'm talking to this, what do you call it?
The woman?
You are horrible.
Yeah, the woman.
David, I wanted to make a point.
I'm telling you, Phil Henry, to shut up while I talk to
it's
the lady.
Mr. I haven't even said anything to Mr. Henry yet. I don't know even.
Of course
I mean,
you're
not I've
saying anything to Henry.
Mr.
He's a bore. I'm interesting.
Listen, I've listened to Mr. Henry, and he is a gentleman.
Thank you. Thank
but
you
I've
very
noticed
much.
Mr.
Shut up,
Henry has a lot of dirtbags that come on his show.
Well, ma'am. That's why I'm going to have to hang up on you.
You can do what you want.
But I have always said that...
Oh, wait a second.
It's okay for you to talk rotten.
Rachel, is that if that's your real first name, I want you, Phil, to look up if this broad was Woman of the Year.
Look, at David, I'll do no such thing.
Thank
you. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Look up to see if she was broad of the year.
You mean Woman of the Year.
And since when do you call a lady a broad?
Since I just started talking to you.
Phil Henry.